embracing conventional wisdom.
Well, hello, loves. Happy beginning of the, let's say the lighter side of the holiday season. We already went through the shadow, the thinning of the veil with Halloween. And now, well, it's time for the feast. And there are so many people out there who are experiencing a kind of famine that maybe they haven't experienced in America. And I am just so, taken back by how many folks are out in these lines, getting what they can. But, of course, on the other side of that is that America, Americans, are so generous with each other. And I just want to thank everybody who gives, that goes out on those soup lines, that goes in for their church or nonprofit organization and helps give out all this amazing food and keeping the sustenance and people's spirits up in this time. I think people are very, the establishment, is very baffled by how your spirit is enduring and absolutely beautiful at this time. They don't know how to deal with it. And in the beginning of this, I sit there and talk about, eclipsing conventional wisdom. Well, conventional wisdom would have it that you should be rioting the streets, that you should be eating each other's babies, and that's not what you're doing. But also, conventional wisdom is letting us know that a lot of stuff that was in the shadow, that was conspiracy years ago, now is daytime fodder, that it's on the television, that that it's on sometimes even, in the daytime on the public airwaves. All of this stuff is something that is now in the public venue. It's part of your environment. And tonight's guest then would kind of say, well, if it's in your public scope and your public environment and it's now public information, that means that maybe there is a new ground, that there is something more to know. We are still digging deep, of course, into these graves that are burying our freedom. And it should never stop the questioning. You should never worry about whatever names you are called. Because what you are doing is the true nature of being a spirit being, somebody that understands the process of this life and that is out there learning. And so as we continue our quest to know, the quest to give and receive, we are going somewhere off-worldly. And we are live tonight from 2 to 3:30 because we have special programming. Fletcher Prouty is coming up. Roy does that every year, and that's... that's, phenomenal, that information and that he lives on in this way and keeps on giving. On the lines, we have Bob Dobbs, okay, and we have his medium, Ion. They are joining us tonight to talk about anything and everything, all the above, and it seems to be very apropos to have them on at this particular juncture. As we are coming into Black Friday, that we really hope is black for people that have jobs at retail stores, that it's black for those that are gathering food to give out to so many needy and hungry families, and that at some point we will see that this is not going to be a ridiculous jobless recovery. All of this propaganda around this economy, around the jobs not being able to, not coming back, and all of this stuff is complete talking head, CFR, trilateral types, just trying to make sure and scare you and undermine you and put the corporate interest over that. And there's a lot of loud voices out there that need to be heard. And so I hope that's one of yours. But tonight we're going to talk about something that's really beyond the veil. We're going to try and decipher a little bit more because conventional wisdom is conspiracy. So that means that there is something more to learn. I don't think we know it all. I don't think we know necessarily anything at this point. I think we're still questioning. But we know that there is certainly a cancer in the body politic. And Bob and Ion are here to just let it rip and to go where we need to go. And so it's always a pleasure to have them. Bob, say hello to the lovely Southern California audience.
Yes, good morning, Eben. Let me be Los Angeles.
Do that. Yes.
To quote Finnegan's Wake.
Okay. Did he? He literally said, "Let me be Los Angeles."
That's a phrase, a line in the Wake. I don't know who's saying it. You can't tell in Finnegan's Wake who's
right.
saying what.
Wow.
But it's there. Let me be Los Angeles.
Oh wow! God, that is so. That is such a thick book. It was amazing with you and Cherry the other week. Let me welcome to the airwaves, Ion. Thank you, sir, for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, you know, I say sir, and you are coming through a male aspect, but you are far beyond that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Bob?
You're all that is you. The physical part that is you. It's what the coroner determines whether or not you're still with us or not. The part we are.
You know what, Ion? The connection I have to you is kind of weak. I did know that it was fine on the phone, but once I have you on air now, it is kind of faint. Are
is that
you? Are you on a land-based unit, sir?
We are. Is that better?
A little bit. Sir?
Maybe you could call back and try it.
Go ahead and speak.
All right. Is that better?
You know what? It's not. It is kind of faint. Yes. You know what? I am going to try and call you back and see if we have a better connection, okay?
Very good. That's wonderful.
Okay, very good, sir. Here we go. In the meantime, Bob, while I get reconnected with Ion here, could you tell us, this is, of course, the 47th anniversary of the JFK assassination? And do I have my math right? 2009, 1962? And so could you tell us your feelings about it, why you think he was assassinated and what you know about it? Bob? Hey, Bob? Okay, what happened to Bob? Well, this is interesting. Bob, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very good. Oh, did you hear my question?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I want to say that... Ion comes through someone called J.W., and J.W. was born in 65, so he's approximately maybe your age. So I want you to think of the voice that's coming through as your generation, Eben. And many people think, we're on other radio shows often with Ion, they think he's an older person. Now, maybe the spirit of Ion is ancient, but it's coming through the body of a 45-year-old. I just wanted to say that. And the other thing is that Ion says that JW is not a medium. A medium has a spirit or ghost or something in the supernatural come through. Ion says it is the non-physical. It's not a spirit. It's not a ghost. Something different. And Ion says this is the first time non-physical has had a public forum. It's never happened through any other public medium. So this is a different situation, Eben.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the preamble. And we describe, Ion is on another show with us every week, and in the little blurb for the show we announce, Ion says that he is an extraterrestrial of now. An extraterrestrial of now. Sometimes he likes to say he's a future, or they. Ion's a plural, zillions of entities. They like to say they are a future terrestrial, not an extraterrestrial. But when I pointed out the medium that channels Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R, who says in his website he's a multidimensional being from the future, Ion said, demurred is the word, and said, well, we're not from the future. We include the future, but we're from the past, the present, and beyond time. So that's an interesting factor.
Hmm.
So I think we have this thing here that we can talk to. Anybody can bring up any question. They can bring up the Kennedy assassination. So you're asking me what I have to say about the Kennedy assassination. Well, I was involved in the cover-up of it. I was involved and knew the people who did it, and I'm still not at liberty to talk about it because trouble happens if that comes through. And so I like what Ion says. It gets us all off the hook. Who killed JFK? JFK did, because Ion says that every death's a suicide. And that's pretty outrageous for our normal thinking. As a matter of fact, Ion would say that Nicole Simpson used OJ to stab herself. Now, isn't that pretty outrageous?
Yeah, that is, because O.J. didn't do it. But,
O.J. did it.
No,
O.J. did. But, of course, there's lots of points and confusion about whether he did or not. I agree. But if for those that believe that O.J. did it, they're let off by saying, no, you're wrong. No, Nicole did it. Nicole stabbed herself, killed herself.
But let me ask you this. I mean, I understand on a where Ion is coming from on a much, much graduated perspective, but when we come down into this, you know, this plane, there are people seeking their bliss through destruction and some through creation. So for those that are of the destructive element, why was it necessarily to help to destroy JFK? Just the reasons why.
Oh, you mean the scientist?
Those that were those that were mixed those. Yes, okay, the scientists that were mixing it up in their lab.
He's saying scienter, which is the architect, the author of the action, scienter.
Okay.
Correct. The author of this process. So, there. Well, let's just be simple. Ask your question again, exactly of which angle you're trying to get spoken to, so we make sure we cover exactly what you're trying to get at, and we'll get you there, we promise.
Why was he killed?
Well, why did he transition into non-physical?
Yes. Okay.
It was, at that point in time, the fastest path to his joy.
And let's say that he didn't know what his joy was, and let's say that the interpretation of his joy was put upon him by somebody else.
Couldn't. Nope, can't do it.
Then how about this? Somebody else's joy overpowered or...
Can't do it. They could have been riding in the limousine in Dallas, Texas, that fateful day, had the rifle to his head in front of everybody, just the way they did the Jack Ruby was done later, right there on national TV in front of God and everybody. They could have been sitting right there in the motorcade with the gun pointed. And if it didn't line up with JFK's fastest path to his joy, to have brain matter spewed in that car, they would have missed. The gun would have misfired. It would not have taken place, would not have occurred.
But the thing is, okay, then how about this then? If it was the fastest path to his joy, somehow there were participants in him realizing that.
Yes, just like with the raper and the rapee and the murderer and the murderee.
Let's talk.
They're all hooked up and synced up together. You draw. It's like a magnetic attraction or polarity.
Yes.
It's north and south poles. They're attracted. How is it that some people you get in your experience and you want to lick the inside of their ear? That's a little gross, but you just couldn't get enough of them. And then some people you wouldn't let in your house.
Right.
Well, that's a polarity. That's a drawing to, you see?
Yes, sir.
And it's amazing how you aim at somebody if you're going to shoot at somebody. The gangbangers do that. They have drive-bys, but they're trying to shoot each other, but they don't hit each other that they're standing in front of. No, they hit the four-year-old two rows over upstairs. That's the one that catches the bullet in the head. How do you work that out? They're standing in front of each other. They're driving by. They're shooting at each other. They don't hit the one that they're 12 feet in front of. No, they hit one in a second-story building a next street over. That's who catches the bullet. How do you work that out?
Yeah.
How does that stray bullet find its way?
Mm.
It's that shooter. He must be a marksman, an expert marksman. No, it's an attraction. It's a bringing about. But let's soften all this, because it's very easy. You're acting as though this life and death thing is terminal. Well, we're here to tell you, according to you humans, it is. So don't get all excited and worried about it. The point is, you are an eternal being. You were eternal when you came here, and you're going to be eternal if you leave.
Okay.
So this is no other. This is no other. We could spend the same amount of time if you took a baby that was born and comes and they're crawling. Okay, we could talk about the time that the spinal cord attaches to the base of the brain, when the baby then could stand up upright and walk. We could spend just as much time talking about, okay, he's been crawling for a long time, and he had a good life, but when is he going to walk? Is he ever going to walk? Well, you know, okay, this was the fateful day. It was 1963. He stood up and started walking. Oh, and he's walking now. Oh, he's able to walk now. It's so wonderful. It's great. Now, like, I wanted him to walk, and now I can't. I wanted him so they could navigate themselves. And now I can't keep them out of anything.
Yes,
they're
sir,
running
but,
around all over the place.
Yes, sir, but if it's just as easy to talk about that, then it should be just as easy to talk about something which is a flash in the pan because we are eternal creatures. So let's talk about the little paragraph, which is the life of and the assassination of JFK. And so I guess, right. And so the question, I guess, then would be, he obviously needed somebody to participate. He attracted, he did actions which attracted the pathway to his bliss. What I'm wondering about is what he knew, what he did, he knew he had to do that would bring that bullet to him. What did he do that made that attraction, that assassination attraction to him?
Gotcha. So where was he when he found himself at the end of an assassin's bullet? Is that the question?
Yes, and all, you know.
Okay, here we go. It all goes back to the Barry Goldwater realm regime. We were coming off, and it was very noticed now that we, America, had come off the gold standard, that things were ramping up. There wasn't a war at the moment to try to keep the economy balancing, and it was a bit teetering on the edge of what Johnson finally called a clear and present anomaly. You were starting to have this inflationary swage because, see, it was for baseball, mom, hot dogs, and apple pie, and Chevrolet. That was the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of that, there wasn't much, you see. So then they came into a place where the greenback dollars and what you call Bay of Pigs were starting to ramp up because this tiny little thing was getting in this great big America's face. But it wasn't that little bitty place of Castro, Fidel, or otherwise. This was about what that stood for, okay? Meanwhile, you have a human person, being, who also had a degenerative back issue, and that contrast that was caused from that physicality was absolutely incredulous. You couldn't even begin to believe even the narcotics that it would take to soothe this debilitating pain. And that pain was contrast, and that he worked through that. It wasn't a problem. But many, many, many is the day that he would rather not be in his physicalness rather than have to deal with the contrast that was his experience. Okay?
Yes.
When they get up on the TV and they say, "We feel your pain," well, he could say that. He didn't. He could say that and mean it. All those synaptic nerve endings that were running along that whole process of the 33 vertebrae, that's the 33rd degree. Oh, wait, that's a whole other conversation. But all those vertebrae that were deteriorating were coming to a place where it literally became excruciating, and it's a daily ongoing excruciating degree of pain. So after a little while, you have, on one hand, you have Camelot. Well, Camelot comes and goes, okay? Well, this meme that was created, so everybody had their peel box hat, and everybody had their new level of the Renaissance. This was that tier of the Renaissance that we were going, boldly going where no country had gone before, coming into our own, the great hope of the future experience. In that place, Roosevelt had the same kinds of issues, but his were a little more formally made available, but still they would stage the camera so you didn't see him in the wheelchair, speaking of Roosevelt. Well, so was Kennedy many times. So, but they never staged it that way because you want a viral, tactile, marvelous swimmer's build, man. manly man, is that the way to describe it? Our leader, the CEO of our commander-in-chief. You see, you don't want someone frail and hurting and in pain, or what you call less than. We don't see it that way. This all gets lined up into a place very quickly, because what was happening at that moment in time in the demographics of your economy was it was rubbing from the gold, lack of the gold standard and the what's going to back this up, the money. And that was the huge, huge, huge issue. And that's also what caused the rambling of your Guantanamo's. They're still working with Guantanamo now, that was created from that the missile crisis with the Cubans, which had nothing to do with the Cubans, but just what they were pointing the guns to.
So
that this was,
I'm sorry, sir. Go right ahead.
No. We're just trying to get the dynamic of laying out how a human creator could choose to go to non-physical, to continue the next stage or step of their livingness.
Right.
Not in physical.
Right.
Well, he did more for this country in non-physical than he ever did in physical. Hmm. You're still talking about it today.
Mm-hmm.
Woodrow Wilson's been gone a long time, too, but you don't remember. Where were you when JFK checked out? People talk about that, to remember.
Yes.
You see? So, but there's been others that have passed. Where were you when Abraham Lincoln went to the theater on Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
See? He was a great American, too.
Mm.
So in the dynamic of that whole process, it becomes a very easy way, a simple way, of understanding the balance of this place you're calling transition. And we will talk about it all day, every day. We'll give you details, way more information than you actually are asking for. Mostly, ask Bob.
Let me ask this.
Particulars really get tangled up. It's great fun, because we say, as we're rolling along in these processes, that answers will be questioned.
Yes. Let me. Oh, I'm so sorry. I keep jumping in. When you talked about it being really based with the economy, the friction between the image and the economy, then he comes out with executive order 11,110 that sets up silver certificates.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reinstitutes them.
Reinstitutes them. Was that then? Did he know that that was the quickest path to his bliss?
He knew that those pieces of paper that were backed by silver, those 1933 notes,
right,
that he was reissuing,
right,
that those would then become the bastion that America could embrace. Oh, wait, it wasn't so much America, it was much more China. What? Wait, what does China have to do with anything? Well, you want participation from other countries. Well, if it's just puffery that your currency is based upon, if it's just puffery, if it's a peso, a Mexican peso, well, you could take 3 zeros off the peso. They did it overnight, and nobody seemed to notice. Okay? But if it's backed on silver, on a metal, gold has gotten a little out of control at that point. But from that stage, now it's $1,150 an ounce, which no one could believe,
right,
that the dollar could get that weak.
Right.
Gold hasn't gone up a penny. The dollar had gotten that weak, that you'd take that many dollars to exchange for an ounce of gold.
That's right.
Okay, the point was to bring in something, bring back something that could be digested through the GNP, the gross national product,
mm-hmm,
that could increase the gross domestic product.
Yes.
So if that could be increased, then there's something to back it up. If you have a contract, it's no good if you don't have something to back it up.
Right.
And that was what the first thing that was being noticed, being given attention to. It's kind of like, wait a second, we're just consuming. Wait a minute, we're not making anything. Wait a minute, we really kind of need a war. So refocus our efforts, you see. And then we can sell war bonds. War bonds are bought by the citizenry. Silver certificates were bought by other countries participating in the United States economy.
And China.
Isn't that what was going on out in Texas recently with little pieces of paper?
What?
Fort Hood.
Oh, Fort Hood. Yes, you know, I want to ask you about Fort Hood, but your reference to China, even back then, during the 60s, why would China at that point come on the radar?